This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. If you love the show, share it with your friends on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcasts. Before the new music, let's hear about a new podcast.
Yes, ESPN, the sports TV network, recently launched a sports podcast called 30 for 30. It's based on their celebrated documentary series of the same name. The first season is 5 episodes, each dedicated to a different sports story.
I sat down with editor Jody Avrigan and producer Rose Eveleth to talk about their upcoming episode called Queen of Sorts. It's about gambling. My first question, is playing cards really a sport?
We're already sort of like nudging at the definition of what sports is in our first season.
I thought
season,
physical exertion was an element of sports.
They played for 30 hours nonstop one time.
Okay.
This is a gambling poker story. We are calling it sports.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, but actually, beyond it being a sports story, this is a revenge story about a card shark or an advantage player, as they're known, and her name is Kelly Sun.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about her?
Yeah, so Kelly Sun grew up in China. Her family was really rich, then the Cultural Revolution happened. Her family lost all their money. She grew up really poor, and then when that ended, her dad made a lot of money again, and she sort of benefited from that by getting really interested in cards. And so she would go to Macau and play, and then she eventually made her way to Vegas to play, except that at the time, when she first started, she really had no idea what she was doing. She was kind of like me. If I walk into a casino with a lot of money, I will definitely lose all of it.
Yeah.
And she did lose all of it, and in fact, she wound up in debt to MGM and eventually wound up in jail for debt to MGM. And so when she got out of jail, she decided that she was going to get her revenge on them. And she learned how to do this very difficult thing called edge sorting.
Okay.
And basically used that skill later to make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Kelly Sun is known in the business as what's called an advantage player.
An advantage player is anybody who turns the advantage to themselves against the house. That could be card counting, which is probably the most famous version of that. So if you've seen the movie 21, they're card counters. But there are people who do things like they figure out when a slot machine is supposed to cash out because it's on a timer, and they just sit there and put in, you know, pennies and get the cash out. This is an advantage play. Anything that you do that basically turns the odds in your favor is considered an advantage play.
So your episode centers primarily around one big play, as it's called,
yes.
Which I almost wanted to call it a job. Like if you're watching a crime movie or a caper, it's the job.
We kind of weren't sure whether to call it a play, a con, which is a fraught word,
right.
Yes.
A job, a caper. But basically, you know, they did this at a bunch of different casinos.
Yes.
Her and her partner, Phil Ivey. But we kind of centered around one at Crockford's.
So they walk into Crockford's, which is, I picture some classy
very
British
classy.
Casino out of a movie. I picture suits, and they're in a private
their
room.
Their logo is like a guy in a top hat and tails, and there's like all the paintings on the walls are like people on horseback. It's very classy.
Okay, and so she goes in with her partner. And what goes down? What is
so basically for this play to work, and the thing that's kind of wild about it even working in the first place is that they have to ask for a whole bunch of things. They have to make a lot of requests, and the casino has to change the way that they normally play the game in order for this to work. So they ask for a special game. They ask for a special dealer who speaks Cantonese so Kelly can talk to her so that the pit bosses in the room can't understand. And then basically what she asks the dealer to do is turn the cards in certain ways so that the valuable cards in the game that they're playing, which is Baccarat, go one way, and the not valuable cards go the other way.
Now,
so,
I would like to pause right there. When I go to a casino, I get a free drink, and that's nice. Mm-hmm. But how are they able to pick their dealer?
Well, if you wire $3 million, you get whatever you want.
And this is where I think this story goes beyond just being a really interesting caper and teaches us something about the world of like high stakes gambling, which is when you are going in with this much money and someone like Phil Ivey in tow.
Which was her partner, who's a very famous poker player.
Guy, yeah.
You get to ask for, and you know, things are given to you that just no other person would get.
So they were asking the dealers to turn the cards, but they also asked to continue to use the same deck, which seems like to be the key in edge sorting. Talk about why that would matter.
Right. So they need a certain kind of card that is cut in such a way that it's not symmetrical.
We struggled a lot.
So here's the card. Look at this edge and that edge.
Yeah. Okay. Basically, when they're making cards, there's diamonds on the back of them. And when they cut the cards, some of those cuts on the diamonds are imperfect. They're different, right? One side, on this right side of this card I'm looking at, you can see the entire diamond. On the left side, they've cut the diamond in half.
So Kelly can see when those are slightly different. And it is like an incredible skill that she has. She showed it to me and I was like, I can't really. Like, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
But she spent thousands of hours training herself to see this. So when they get the dealer to turn the cards so that some of them go one way and some of them go the other way, they do that as basically sorting those cards into two groups. The valuable cards are one and the non-valuable cards are the other. Then when they come back out, she can see that little edge asymmetry and she can tell you if that's a valuable card or a non-valuable card, which basically means, all told, they have about a 6% edge on the house, which is very, very large.
Because the house traditionally has a 1% edge over the player, so they end up being able to rake in lots and lots of money. So they pull this off, and they make $10 million?
So they win $12 million at Crockford's. They've won over $10 million other places, in Atlantic City, in Australia. They've won a lot of places. Crockford's, however, figures out what they're doing and decides that they do not want to pay them.
Yeah, so they leave with a receipt to get the money wired to them, and then they're like, we're not wiring you. Because
it's not like in the movies where you get to go and give them like 50 black chips and they give you a suitcase of
gold. Well, so we're focusing on tactics. But the other thing at play here is Kelly is widely considered one of the most dangerous card players in the world. And part of that is her ability to do this edge sorting. She's been doing the game a long time. But one of her strengths is the ability to manipulate people's perceptions of her.
So this is one of those stories where when you tell people the whole thing, and then they're like, well, how did they possibly get away with this? And part of it is that casinos have this idea that Asians, and particularly Asian women, are stupid and are sucker gamblers. And so when she walks in and she plays that up, they already think that Kelly's dumb, but then she plays into that quite nicely.
So part of it is that they underestimate Kelly. And as we said before, the dealer does everything she asks. At no point does she touch the cards. So is this cheating? What do we say, 30 for 30 editorial team?
What do I think?
Yeah, I've been trying to get Rose's opinion on this
for a while. I'm so stoic. I think it's really interesting because I have oscillated between both sides. On the one hand, like you said, they didn't touch the cards. They didn't mark the cards. The casino could have said no at any given time. The casino knows that these cards can be used in this way. Edge sorting is not new. This is really the first time people have done it in Baccarat, but it's been done in Blackjack. It's been done other places. So the casinos could get cards that aren't printed incorrectly. So it seems like, on the one hand, the casinos, if you're going to be sloppy, you kind of got to take the knock, right? On the other hand, you know, there's this element of she was talking to the dealer in a language that none of the surveillance people could understand. You know, she and Phil knew something they didn't. I tend to come down on the side that this isn't cheating. If you are dumb enough to change your procedures this much, I mean, it's kind of your own fault.
I think the most compelling argument I've heard is that the house always has an edge in any game. They are playing an advantage game when you walk into a casino against anyone in any game. They would not set up a game if they didn't have an advantage. And now the instant that someone does the work to tilt that advantage in the other direction, they throw their hands up and claim that it's cheating. And I just don't find that compelling.
Jody Avergan and Rose Eveleth of the new ESPN podcast 30 for 30. We were discussing the episode Queen of Swords, which comes out next week. Go sign up at Apple Podcasts.
And while you're there, if you haven't already, sign up for the Dinner Party Download podcast as well. That way you will have arts, culture, food, and sports completely covered.
Add a news show and you'll know everything in the world.
Good to go.